OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Vayechi, but it is also for the situation in Israel and for Jews all over the world of war. And we will take a little bit from the Parsha and speak mostly about the Matzav, the situation here. We have a lot on the agenda. Recording and first broadcast is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 12th of Tevet, 5769, on the secular calendar, the 8th of January. Let's get right to the business of Tehillim. Know that this is a prayer which we say every show, but it has extra feeling behind it and an extra plea before God because of the situation. We will do both chapters that we alternate. First, Psalm 130, Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shimavakoli Tihyena Aznecha Kashuvot Lakol Tachanunai. Imavonot Tishmorya Adonai Miya Amod. Ki imcha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Psalm 121, Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir lama alot esa einai el heharim me ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me im Adonai ose shamayim vaoretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmorecha mikol ra. Yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, me'ata vi'ad olam. Here is a special prayer that was composed by Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, the son of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. Rav Shmuel is the chief rabbi, or one of the major rabbanim of Tzfat, and he composed this prayer to be said on all occasions, any opportunities rather, for the current situation. A copy of this is available on the Torah Tidbits page on the internet. You can download it together with a lot of things, but it's the lead page. I would say you have this possibility. Put in this link, www.ttidbits, that would be ttidbits.com, /843, another slash, another 843, .pdf. A large PDF file will come up, the first page of which is the prayer we're about to say. I'll read it in Hebrew first and then in English. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Adonai Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu shetrachem aleinu v'al kol toshevei hadarom. Hagen aleinu berov chazdecha ufros aleinu sukat shalomecha. Chazek et yidei halochamim hameginim aleinu umosrim et nafsham lema'aneinu. Shemor aleihem v'hagen aleihem mikol ra. Hafer atzat oyevenu v'sonainu, charbam tavo v'libam v'kashtotam Tishavarna, Ribono Shalolam, Tein Belev Manhigenu, Chochma, Ve'oz, Ve'ta'atsumot Nefesh, Lahachrit et Kol Oyevenu, Ve'utekayem Bahem, Tfilat David Hamelech Alav Hashalom, Erdof Oyevai Va'asigem, Ve'lo Ashuv Ad Kalotam. Amen, Ken Yehi Ratzon. Roughly in English, may it be your will, God, our God, the God of our fathers, that you should have mercy on us, and specifically on the residents of the south. Protect us with your great chesed, your great kindness, ufros aleinu sukat shlomecha, and spread over us the tent of your peace. Strengthen the hands of the fighters who are protecting us, the ones who are risking their lives on our behalf. Protect them, guard them from all evil. Cancel the decrees of our enemies and those that hate us. God, Master of the world, put into the heart of our leaders wisdom, courage, and determination to vanquish our enemies. And may it come to fruition, the words and the prayer of King David, Olav HaShalom. I will pursue my enemies and catch them, and I will not come back until they have been vanquished. Amen, may it be his will. I just put the recording on hold in order to take a phone call. It was from a woman, member of the Israel Center, who is now in Florida. Very sorry she can't be here with us. And she said, we've got her credit card number. Please put in a contribution of $50 and buy whatever you think you need in order to send to the soldiers at the front. And there's an outpouring here and all over the world on behalf of the soldiers. And may our prayers and our acts of kindness and our Torah learning and observance help them, but in the recognition that the lion's share of the work is on the heads of the soldiers who are putting their lives at risk, even as I say these words. Let's put a certain focus on it from this week's Torah reading. Yaakov Avinu is towards the end of his life. He's 147 years old. He cannot see well. He calls for his son Yosef, and Yosef comes to his father's deathbed with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He brings them for a blessing from their grandfather. The Torah tells us in the Parsha, Vayavorech et Yosef Vayomar, Yaakov blessed Yosef, saying, Ho Elohim asher hithalchu avotai lifanav Avraham v'Yitzchak, God, before whom my fathers Avraham and Yitzchak walked, Ho Elohim horo'eh oti me'odi v'ad hayom hazeh, and God, who has shepherded me, or who shepherds me from my inception until this day, follows the next verse, well known because it is quoted on many different occasions, Hamalach hagoel oti mikol ra yivarech et hane'arim vikarei vahem shemi v'shem avotai Avraham v'Yitzchak v'yidgu larov bekerev ha'aretz. Literally translated, the way many of the translations read, may the angel who redeems me from all evil bless the lads, and may my name be declared upon them, and the names of my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, and may they proliferate abundantly like fish within the land. This is the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yosef, by blessing his children. This is the continuity of generations. There is one little problem with understanding this verse literally. The commentators discuss it. Some are not disturbed by it. Others apparently react to the problem that we do not invoke angels, we don't pray to angels for blessings, we pray to God. And sure enough, Chizkuni, an early Torah commentator, interprets this verse as Yaakov saying to Yosef, as I showed you already in the previous verse, Ha'elokim asher hithalchu avotai lefanav, God before whom my parents and grandparents walked, the God who shepherds me from the time I was little till this very day, the God who sends his angels to protect me, may he, capital H, God, bless the boys and call my name upon them in the name of Avraham and Yitzchak, etc. In other words, this is a prayer to God, even though the literal translation of the words in the verse seem to be that Yaakov is asking the blessing from the angel. He is not. And I believe this very strongly, and I don't know if we want to dwell on that point. I want to say as follows. If we have a situation here of a grandfather blessing his grandchildren, and he says, the God who has protected me all my life, may he bless the children, how much more so do we say it today? Do we say it and specifically have in mind that God who sends his angels to redeem and protect us, may he bless the boys, referring to the many, many, many soldiers who are risking their lives at this very moment in their battles, and call the names of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov upon them, and may they be kept healthy, safe, and may they succeed in what we are trying to accomplish.
Amaloch Adoye Oisi Mikol Roh Yivorech Es Han Yorim Amaloch Adoye Oisi Mikol Roh Yivorech Hamaloch Hagoyim, Oisi Mikol Roh Yevorech Es Han Yorim Hamaloch Hagoyim, Oisi Mikol Roh Yevorech Vei Yidul Aroi Adonai Asi Mikol Ra Yevareh Es Ham Yehorim Hamalach Adonai Asi Mikol Ra
Let's use the above as the jumping off board, the starting point, and talk about how, I don't know, what a healthy way to approach war is. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how many of the answers I have. I have some input, and that's what hopefully you'll be getting in Torah Tidbits audio and in the written Torah Tidbits, where the lead tidbit was entitled Hashem Ish Milchama, God is a Master of War, Hashem Shemo. I'll go over some of the things that were written there and bounce off of you some new thoughts. But we're putting it into the context of not only Parshat Vayechi and not only Yaakov's blessing for his sons and grandchildren, but this same Yaakov has previously taught us the multidimensional strategy that we have when presented with an enemy. I refer to Yaakov's preparation to fight, if necessary, against Esav, who hated Yaakov, who wanted to kill Yaakov. And we see in the verses earlier in the Torah that Yaakov prepares for battle, but he also prays to God, and he also prepares conciliatory type of gifts to hopefully avoid the confrontation with Esav. I would say in the current situation, Israel has been overly generous with its gestures of goodwill, with its release of prisoners, with its humanitarian aid. Even during the war, there are reports of medical situations where Palestinians from the Gaza Strip are being treated by Israeli doctors in Israeli hospitals for various and sundry conditions. That was definitely part of it. Prayer is definitely part of it. That's what we did at the beginning of the show. That's what groups all over Israel and all over the world are doing constantly. We start classes here with Tehillim. We have extra Tehillim after the davening. And we talk in that framework. But the preparation and execution of military strategy and action also has to be part of the picture. Let me take us a step back. We're going to pause in a moment for the break. Remember again that if you're listening to the two halves of the show put together but not within the stream of Israel National Radio, you won't sense a break, except that I'm telling you about it. But since the first the recording and the first broadcast and the first number of broadcasts is in the framework of that stream, then I have to say things like we'll be back after the news or the news update or whatever. So that's the story, and I will catch you in a moment.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
All right, we're trying to talk a little bit about the war from a certain perspective. My perspective is, and I can't get away from it because it's weighing very much on my mind, we have a partnership with God in this world. We, the Jewish people, believe that we were chosen for a certain destiny to be God's people, to receive the Torah, to follow the Torah, to keep the Torah. Part of the relationship needs to include what to do in case of war. Let's go way back to the beginning, when we were a large family, soon to become a formal nation. We came out of Egypt. Egypt is now pursuing the exodus of the Jewish people. The people turn around and see what's behind them. They see mountains to the left and to the right and the sea in front of them, and they panic. God says to Moshe, tell the people, Hashem yilachem lachem, God will fight for you, va'atem tacharishun, and you will be silent. Stand aside, I'll take care of this one, says God to the Jewish people. And he does it in a grand way, a miraculous way, as the Egyptians pursue the fleeing Israelites into the seabed produced by the miracle of the splitting of the sea, the wheels of the Egyptian chariots bog down. The sea closes, they are drowned, Israel is saved, and we sing the song of the sea, proclaiming, among other things, Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemo. God is a man of war, a master of war. Hashem is his name. That battle, the partnership, let's say our senior partner, capital S, capital P, told us to just stand by, he'll take care of this one by himself. comes the next battle, shortly out of Egypt, we are attacked by Amalek, and this time, we're involved. God tells Moshe, tell Yehoshua, gather an army to fight against Amalek. You, Moshe, together with your brother Aharon and your nephew Hur, go up to the hilltop, and you're in charge of prayer. And I, says God, will join this fight as well. It is a tremendous mistake, ever, to think that what we accomplish all on our own. Whatever we, the Jewish people, accomplish, it is because of God's help. Sometimes the lion's share of the help, sometimes sitting back and letting us take care of things, and just keeping an eye and a little bit of help. Sometimes we get more help than we even know. Just to use another example from the Torah, when Bilam and Balak were planning their unconventional warfare, meaning not with bows and arrows and swords and spears and daggers and whatever, but with cursing, with the power of speech, we didn't even know that we were being attacked, and God took care of that by himself as well. He does that. I heard a shiur the other day on an MP3 by Menachem Liebtag on the book of Yehoshua. Very interesting idea, which I don't know if I grasped until he spelled it out. Yehoshua takes the people across the Jordan, and their first encounter of a long, long military campaign ahead of them is with the city of Jericho, Jericho. He, Yehoshua, has got a strategy. He sends spies to check out the place, they make a deal, they're saved, whatever. Yehoshua apparently has a plan. God says, you know what? Through a prophecy, he says to Yehoshua, this one is mostly on me. I will perform a miracle with your actions, and the walls of Jericho will come tumbling down. Further battles were not like that. And the fact that it took 7 years of conquest shows that sometimes God works in one way and sometimes he works in a different way. There is a partnership throughout Jewish history. Again, using a Torah example, one time the Torah tells us the people decided they're going to go into the land of Canaan. This is in the aftermath of the sin of the spies. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't go because God is not with you. And they went anyway, and they were defeated. So there is a partnership, and we have to do our share. I believe that it is folly to leave God out of the picture ever. I believe it is equally wrong to leave human participation out of the picture. It always reminds me of that old line of a guy praying fervently to God to win the lottery. Every night he prays and prays to God with all of his heart and soul that he should win a lottery. And after days and days of this praying, he hears a heavenly voice saying, buy a ticket. That's necessary. Now that's a joke or a humorous way of putting it, but it underlines an idea. You cannot sit by and ask God for supernatural miracles to accomplish things, even on a national scale. You have to roll up your sleeves, You have to sweat and cry and bleed if necessary in order to accomplish your goals and have confidence that God will be with you. Us. Jumping around a little, there's a well-known, I don't know what you want to call it, issue with one of the Hanukkah songs that seem to glorify the Maccabees and the Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans, with the obvious absence, conspicuous, better word, conspicuous absence of God in the process. Unfortunately, the counter to that song was to change some of the words where God is now the hero of Hanukkah and the role of the Hashmonaim and the Maccabees don't seem to exist. And what I'm basically saying is we need to recognize both. It is a partnership and we must do our part of that and God must do his share. Now, one of the wrinkles in all of this is our loss of prophecy. Way back when we had prophecy, a true prophet could come to the people of Israel and say, Ko Amar Hashem, thus says God, the God of Israel, do this, don't do that, fight this way, whatever. And we do it. If we don't do it, we're in trouble. And if we follow his word, that's fine. What do you do when there's no prophecy? What do you do when you do not hear directly from God, you shall commence with an aerial assault on Gaza, singling out to the best of your ability the targets of the rocket launchers and the storage facilities for the rockets, and the tunnels for smuggling ammunition and munitions into Gaza. You don't hear that directly. You have to then trust that when cool heads make that decision, it is with the concurrence of God and the blessing of God for its success. This does not necessarily mean that we won't have casualties. When the battle against Midian was fought, as recorded in the Torah, 12,000 soldiers went out to do battle against Midian, and they brought back spoils of war, which were shared between the soldiers and the rest of the people. The officers of the campaign came to Moshe, astonished and thrilled and delighted and filled with thanksgiving to God that they had not won single loss. And that's considered a miracle. And they contributed towards the Mishkan on that occasion. That would be wonderful to have no casualties. But it doesn't happen like that always. Reality is there are casualties and we have to pray that they are minimal to zero. And since we know already they're no longer zero in this particular war, we have to keep praying to God to keep it down. I know that sounds a little trite. And by the way, or not by the way, a major idea is it's not just praying, it's resolving to become better people and better Jews, to learn more Torah, to keep mitzvot better, to do more acts of kindness, to give more charity, to help each other more, to be more tolerant, and loads and loads of things that go along with this. This is our share. Our meaning those who are not on the front lines. You should know that even people who are still in the army, not every soldier is involved in this, But those who are need our special tefillot and prayers to God for their safekeeping, because they are risking their lives for us. Further question goes, in this specific situation, was it right after the aerial assault to then send in ground forces? We have to hope and pray that it was the right thing to do and that God is actually on our side in this issue. And if you believe in the justice of what you're doing, of what we are doing, then you have to also believe that God is going to help. Exactly how is his business, but that's why it's a difficult situation. We cannot turn to a prophet and hear a direct communique, so to speak, from our senior partner. We have to go on the fact that we are committed to him and that our belief in him and in the halachic behavior of the Jew is going to help us make the right decisions. It does not mean that we will always make the right decisions. And I'll say it again, the cost of some of the things that we do sometimes is high. I'll let you think about this while you listen to another version of Hamalach HaGoel Oti, remembering that we are praying to God for his divine protection, specifically for the Na'arim, the boys at the front line, but for all of us. First and foremost, the soldiers. First and foremost, also, the people, residents within firing distance of the rockets of the South and now also the North, so that they too should be protected while we sit, temporarily at least, in the comfort of our distance from the confrontation points. But we're still here, and we're all in this together.
Begin, Gilonoi, we care you there, boy.
Final word for this show on Parshat Vayechi. We come to the end of the book of Bereshit. We read of the passing of Yaakov and Yosef and his brothers, and the book ends with the people of Israel in Egypt, soon to be oppressed and enslaved, as we will read in next week's portion. But we are about to witness the birth of a nation. The family of Israel is gone. The nation of Israel is to emerge. And that's a crossroad which we find ourselves continually, and we have to draw strength from the positive stories and abject lessons from the negative experiences so that we can become a stronger and stronger people and nation, and become a true light into the world. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.